terrible story we're following out of Detroit. A 9-year-old girl died this week when 3 dogs attacked her in an alley behind her house. Neighbor Edward Cruz told Fox 2 Detroit News that he tried to get the animals off the girl.
I ran towards them and I grabbed a brick, threw it at them. They all ran out. I don't know where they went. So I decided to stay with the girl to make sure that she's okay. I yelled out for help.
Police say the owner of the 3 pit bulls was arrested, and it is a reminder that dog attacks do happen, and although rare, they can be fatal. Let's bring in Margie Alonzo. She's director of the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. Margie, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And when you hear that story about that poor little girl in Detroit, as a person who understands animal behavior, what are you thinking?
I mean, the first thing I'm thinking is how horrible. I mean, there's nothing that any of us could feel but absolute horror at this. And then the next place I go to is that this is a human-animal problem, even more than a canine-animal problem. Attacks tend to happen more on children and on older people. Mm-hmm. And dogs, often when there is going to be some sort of an attack, it happens with a group of dogs. We had a situation like that here and recently with some 14-year-old boy also perished.
Here in Massachusetts.
Yeah. The first thing I think is that these are uncontrolled, well cared for dogs, and that's what leads to this.
And we'll get to that. But first, let's dig into some of the things you've said. Number one, more likely to happen with a child or an elderly person. Why is that?
I don't know that there's data on exactly why, but I can certainly say that with children, a lot of bites occur often because there's running, squealing, different movement.
Mm-hmm. This little girl was on a bike.
Right. And so dogs chase. That's one of the things that they are hardwired to do. And so that can certainly trigger some of this. I don't think it's fair to blame her for biking.
No, of course not.
But we have to look at the situation as a whole if we want to try to stop further events like this.
What is going on in a dog's brain when it decides to attack? I've heard it described as something like a red zone.
That's not a thing.
No.
But it's a very good TV thing. What we can observe is that dogs that are highly aroused in terms of excitation, in terms of a prey drive, in terms of protection, will then kind of ramp up. And the switch just flips. And that's when dogs are really dangerous, especially in groups. Dogs are not pack animals. We commonly call them packs of dogs, but that's, again, a sort of TV falsehood.
Really?
Dogs are, they're scavengers. They mm-hmm. live in loose social groups. They come and go. 30% of the world's dogs are owned or a breed.
So then why do you say they're more likely to do an attack in a group of dogs?
They do get super excited when there's more than one. They feed off of each other's excitation. I don't know if you've ever been to a concert and you see large groups of people lose their minds. Mm-hmm. And that happens with dogs too.
There's a group called DogsBite.org that tracks these statistics. It says that 35 dog breeds contributed to 433 deaths in a recent 13-year period. So it is rare, but it's not insignificant.
Right.
And people will hear this story from Detroit and they'll be tempted to blame the breed.
Yeah.
Others will be quick to defend the pit bulls and blame the owner for not keeping them under control. But tell me first, what you can tell us about how aggressive one breed is over another.
That isn't a thing either. Certainly there are some breeds that are born and bred for protection. And those dogs that are in protection lines might be more easily inclined to bite. But there's also sort of a cachet. If I own a certain breed and I am a certain kind of person, I want, this to be either protective or threatening. I don't know if this is still true, but I know that several years ago I read a study that golden retrievers were responsible for more bites on children than any other breed. And that's, we could then easily say, well, golden retrievers are dangerous. And that's not true.
People get really defensive about this. People who like pit bulls say, back off. They're fine animals. They're beautiful animals. And you say golden retrievers can be dangerous too. That's the most iconic, American pet, around.
But that's the point, right? So we think they're good with children because that's how they're advertised by breeders and mm-hmm. breed clubs. And then they tend to be around more children. And so there are more bites to kids from goldens than from pit bulls per this study. Doesn't mean they're dangerous.
So what should a person do when you're walking down the street, you turn around and all of a sudden a dog is charging at you?
The first thing we should do is remember this is a neighborhood issue. This is a community issue. Get to know your neighbors if you can. Talk to delivery people. See if there are places that they know that there are problematic dogs. Your animal control officer is your friend. And then we should avoid things if we can, even if it's not fair. If you can't walk by that house because this dog is always barking and it bugs you, don't walk by that house. So first there's preventive stuff. Then if you've got a dog charging at you, the first thing we have to do is define that. There are people who are terrified of dogs, and if the friendliest dog in the world ran at them and jumped on them, they would absolutely consider that an attack.
Right.
It's not by any sort of objective measure. So let's say that what you're saying is if you are in danger, the first piece of advice people get is usually be a tree, right? Stand still, mm-hmm. don't move, don't flail. And that often works. But it only works if you're a certain kind of person that can do that.
Well, let me tell you, this happened to me. A couple of years ago, I was walking my Chihuahua down the street, and all of a sudden, I see a dog jump over a fence and start sprinting at us. I mean, my heart started beating a million miles per hour. My first instinct was to run, but what I did was I turned around, I faced the dog, and I actually started walking towards it in a sort of big way, and it stopped in its tracks, and it turned around. It worked for me, but I don't know if I did the right thing.
Well, you clearly did the right thing because it stopped. If you can stand still, if you don't have another, like a little dog, if you are able to and you're not so terrified that you're going to start screaming, standing still, looking down, breaking eye contact is a good idea. Mm-hmm. What you did is another good idea, which is that you sort of say,
I'm in charge.
I don't know if it's in charge, but I think that if we can sort of remove a lot of the human constructs around this, it's sort of saying, I'm not giving you anything to chase and I'm a little bit threatening to your advances. Mm-hmm. That dog, I would argue, was not going to kill anyone. But that doesn't mean he wasn't being a jerk. And it doesn't mean it was okay.
Yeah, I feel like I got lucky, right?
Yeah.
Now, what if the dog didn't turn around and you are beset by a dog and it's biting you and it is actively attacking you? How do you stop it?
This gets a little graphic. I mean, what you need to do to stop it is anything you can do to stay alive or keep your pet alive. If you have a wallet and you can't, shove it down its throat. If you poke its eyes, you can. If you can shove a stick or anything that you have in its jaws and set it back in the animal's mouth, the front, they'll just snap it. If you can shove it way back, it can help. If you are worried about it on an ongoing basis, you can carry a can of what's called Direct Stop or other citronella-based sprays that you can spray in the animal's eyes. I mean, at that point, it's about stay alive and keep your child or pet alive. Don't worry about the other dog, even though that's very hard.
Look, I'm trying not to sound alarmist here. This happens to people. So, it happened recently to a friend of mine. Most of them don't end up in a tragedy. It's just a scary experience. Yeah. And that's what I want to ask you about next. Everyone has a dog story. Mm-hmm. You know someone who's terrified of dogs because something happened to them once when they were a kid. Mm-hmm. Why do those experiences stay with us for so long?
I have two thoughts on this. One is that I think there's something visceral about animals. We are so removed from the natural world at this point that I think sometimes there's something that harkens back to, our days in the trees that where it gets really scary. But also, I mean, I'm not sure it's different than when I was, hit by a car on my bike when I was a kid. I think those things stay with us. The problem is that when there's another sentient being involved and it's not our species, it becomes a little bit mythical in our consciousness. And the way to handle that, exposure in a safe way can really sort of help the person that's afraid learn whether this is really something they don't want or if it's something they do want and their fear is just keeping them from it. There's a lot of therapy dog organizations where you can reach out and say, I would like some limited exposure. You don't have to touch the dog. You can be a football field away. Or you can sort of help yourself to see whether this is actually a phobia you have or if you just haven't sort of gotten past that threshold.
Margie Alonzo is director of the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. Margie, thanks for your time. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Margie has some helpful ideas what you can do in case you're face-to-face with an aggressive dog. It's at hereandnow.org.